Blog Talk Radio.
Sisterhood Exchange radio show, which has been the home for the past several weeks of the book club. And actually, tonight is the last night of the book club discussion. I didn't realize that we had gotten through the bulk of the book. Tonight's episode really will cover reality shows as reflectors, and then there are two other short chapters. So I do believe that I'll be able to cover the remaining chapters in the book tonight. So tonight is the last night for the book club. I am Michelle Hollinger, your very, very grateful, very thankful host. Thank you all for hanging out with me on Wednesday nights to discuss this all-important topic of sisterhood. And if you are listening online, first of all, if you haven't already, if you would do me a huge favor and click on the blue follow tab that's on the website for Blog Talk Radio for this particular radio show, if you click on the blue follow tab, that adds you as a follower to the show. And whenever the show is going to air, or if there are any changes to the show, you are automatically notified. The other thing is, if you are listening online and you would like to call in with a question, comment, or your brilliant insight, the number to call in is 646-595-2081. You'll get an indication to press 1 so that you can join me on the air. And my studio screen will show me that you are desiring to share this radio space with me, and I will bring you on. Also, there is a Facebook page called The Sisterhood Exchange that I encourage you to check out if you're on Facebook. And if you're not and you're considering getting on Facebook, that's a wonderful reason to get on. I love Facebook. I think that you get out of Facebook what you put into it. So it can be a really wonderful way to connect, to reconnect. You know, I've connected with old classmates and family members that I did not even know I had, so I'm not going to do a commercial for Facebook. But, yeah, Facebook is pretty cool. I like Facebook a whole lot. So, yeah, there's a Facebook page called The Sisterhood Exchange, and I keep it up to date for the most part. Some days I don't really have anything to put on it. If I don't have anything, you know, uplifting or significant, something of substance to put on it, then I just won't put anything on it, you know, just for the sake of putting something on it. So some days I might not put anything on it, but more often than not, I'm putting something on that Facebook page for us to be reminded of how awesome, how wonderful, how sacred sisterhood is. And what else did I want to tell you all? The book is available on Amazon.com in an ebook format, and it's also available in a paperback format. And it's also available on my website if you'd like to get it autographed. My website is michellehollinger.com, and you can go to that website and click on the tab for the book, and you can order it right there on the book. I mean, on the website, and I will get the autographed copy out to you pronto. What else? I think that's it by way of housekeeping. And so, yeah, let's just dive right into the last discussion of the Sisterhood Exchange book. And this is the paperback, because the book came out in hard copy some time ago, but this is the most recent, and it's the revised and updated edition of the Sisterhood Exchange. And we've gone through the first part of it. This book is separated into two parts. Part one has to do with the sisterhood of self, which in my opinion is the most important aspect of sisterhood, because the sisterhood of self determines not only my own quality of life and, you know, what I'm doing on this journey called my life, you know, but it also determines how I interact with other women. But what I've touched on over the past several weeks is that when our sisterhood of self is activated, when we are doing the work to peel back our layers, when we are doing the work to honor and to celebrate ourselves, to you know, get into the habit of forgiving ourselves for making mistakes and using poor judgment, and just developing that deep level of compassion that comes along with an active SOS. When we're doing all of that, the way that we treat other women is a reflection of the work that we've done. And so the sister-to-sister dynamic of the Sisterhood Exchange, part two of the book, it really just flows from the first part, the sisterhood of self. So I'm going to do, like I've done over the past several weeks, just a real quick recap of the sisterhood of self, so that if there is anyone joining us for the first time, you kind of have a little bit of a foundation upon which to have this discussion about sister to sister. So, yeah, the first part of the book, of course, went into the preface and talked about, you know, just what sisterhood is. And you guys know by now, if you're a regular listener, that it begins with our birth. It's an innate quality. It's an innate concept that we have as women. When we're born as little girls, you know, we just come here naturally vibing with other little girls. And this sisterhood thing, it forms, you know, with our birth, and then the quality of the sisterhood is determined by the energy that we put into it. So, of course, as little girls, we don't have any instructions initially on how to treat sisterhood, on how, you know, sisterhood should look. And so it just comes from within us. And when we get here, we're innocent, we're pure, and we're just desiring of connecting with someone who looks like us, you know, at a high level, and that's just a natural thing, you know. So the first part of the discussion, of course, talked about that, and then it talked about how as little girls grow up, depending on the kind of sisterhood that they're exposed to is what determines, you know, their outlook on sisterhood, the way that they engage sisterhood, the way that they internalize and normalize sisterhood. So if they grow up around women who don't understand sisterhood, women who don't understand that they have this internal power, who don't understand that what goes around comes around, if they grow up around women who, you know, routinely gossip, backstab, you know, are willing to get into fist fights and that sort of thing, then that's what they internalize. That's what they normalize. That's their view of sisterhood. And it doesn't mean that every single girl who's exposed to that ends up mimicking that behavior, but that's what she's exposed to, and that's what's normal to her. That chapter also talks about, you know, if that is what a girl is exposed to, and that's all she's exposed to, then the likelihood that that's the type of sisterhood, the view and the way that she engages in sisterhood, the way that she behaves as it relates to sisterhood, the likelihood that she'll follow into that pattern is very, very strong. If she's exposed to something different, if she's exposed to women who understand, you know, how powerful they are, that they have this thing inside of them that, you know, that is their sisterhood of self, and even though it may be refer to as something different, you know, because spirit coined the sisterhood of self through me, but women have been living with an active SOS for as long as time. So, you know, I didn't discover this energy that's inside of women. I've just given it a name. But there are women who get it. There are women who recognize that, you know, as within, so without, and who recognize that they have this inner splendor, this life purpose inside of them, and they are about their business of discovering that inner splendor and that life purpose and delivering it. They recognize that it's not something that's supposed to stay inside of them and get buried, you know, when they're no longer here. So, yeah, we talked about that a lot as it relates to the sisterhood of self, because when a woman understands that her sisterhood of self is as powerful as she allows it to be, whew, she can just really brace herself, because the wonderful things that can come from that are unlimited, absolutely unlimited. So, yeah, the sisterhood of self has 7 principles that I talked about ad nauseum these past several weeks. You guys probably know them by heart if you're a regular listener. But the 7 principles of the SOS are that, first of all, every woman has one that is either active or inactive. And I talked about what an active SOS looks like. You can spot a woman with an active SOS a mile away, because there's just this energy, this positive energy about her, this joy that is effortless, that just flows from her. She is more likely than not engaged in doing something to either execute her life purpose if she has already discovered it, or she's in the process of discovering what it is. She is serious about that. She recognizes that she's here on purpose, with a purpose, and so she really doesn't have the interest or the time to be engaged in things that that are typical of an inactive SOS, things like gossip, things like backstabbing, things like getting into fistfights, things like, you know, just doing things that don't represent her in the best light, right? So the second principle is the SOS. The SOS is activated by spending time in the silence daily. And if you've listened to any of these shows, you know how important that is. And it's really a gift to yourself, because all the best things about you, they are not in your external world. They are inside of you. And the only way to access them, the only way to tap into them and to bring them out, is to spend time in the silence. Turning off the TV, turning off the social media, turning off, you know, everything that's going on externally for a portion of your day. You know, if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just some time where you get to just tap into the awesomeness that is inside of you. And one of the things that happens when you do that is, ultimately, the more you do it, what flows from you is nothing but awesomeness. But there are things inside of you, you know, maybe memories from childhood, past mistakes, poor judgment, whatever the case may be, that will come to the surface, that will come to the surface. And the beautiful thing about that is the only way for anything to be healed is for it to come to the surface. And so when you start to spend time in the silence, anything and everything that has been troubling you, that has served as an obstacle, that has, you know, cause you to engage in mediocrity instead of excellence, all of that is right there, and it will come up sooner or later. It will come up for you to heal, and I just encourage you to just stay with it, because spending time in the silence leads to you healing anything that needs to be healed, and it leads to you taking your life to another level. It leads to you discovering why you are here, and then what's also in the silence is the instructions, the guidance, the direction for how you take whatever your life purpose is. It comes fully clothed. It comes with the instructions. It comes with what you need to do in order to make it happen. That comes with it. And the more you spend time in the silence, the more you access that, and the more you bring it to the surface, and you can use it. You can use it in a way that works best for you. Okay? The third principle of the SOS is that self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. And it's one of those gifts that we give to ourselves. It really just starts to flow naturally, because when you're spending time in the silence, as I said, any and everything that you know could possibly need to be healed, it will flow. It will come to the surface. It's going to crowd your mind, you know, thoughts that you think day in and day out, as well as any old stuff, you know, that's just there. It will come up. It will come up. And the other thing that happens, though, is that the more you spend time in the silence, the more you just give yourself an opportunity to examine your life, to play super sleuth for the journey that has brought you to this space and time. It you know, the spending time in the silence gives you the opportunity to look at who you are, why you are the way that you are. You know, perhaps there were things that happened in childhood that contributed to, you know, your seeing the world the way that you see the world. What silence does is it just gives us information. It gives us the 411 about, you know, who we are and why we're the way that we are. And you know, it gives us the tools to work with it. You know, one of the things that I mentioned, not last week, but the week before that, was as this stuff comes up, if you find that you need the help of a therapist, a counselor to help you through it, I strongly encourage you, strongly encourage you to seek one out, to seek out a competent therapist, because, you know, some of the stuff that comes up, you know, especially if it's something that you've been dealing with for a while, you may not have the tools to deal with it in a way that allows you to move forward, because ultimately that's what it's all about. It's not just about, you know, spending time in the silence and allowing all of this stuff to come up to the surface and then, you know, you don't do anything with it and it's just there, you know. The ultimate goal of all of this, the ultimate goal of engaging, you know, in the silence, of activating your SOS, is so that you can get on the business, get on with the business of living your life to the fullest. And what this does is it allows you to pull up whatever is going on, you know, that has served as an obstacle or kept you stagnant over the years. And it allows you to do the work to heal it. It really does, you know. So that's self-forgiveness. Self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. You start to develop this deep level of compassion for yourself. You start to just understand, you know, what Maya Angelou said about when we know better, we do better. And you are more willing to cut yourself some slack. That's what that whole self-forgiveness thing is. And then, you know, once you start, you know, embracing self-forgiveness, it stays with you because, you know, you are willing and able to forgive yourself from things from the past. But then, you know, as you stumble, you know, as we live life, because each one of us, we stumble, you know, we make mistakes, we do something that you know, is not in total alignment with what we say we want, you know, that happens, that continues to happen. But when you have embraced self-forgiveness, it doesn't have the hold on you that it might have had, you know, 5 years ago. It doesn't stop you in your tracks like it might have a year ago. You know, engaging in self-forgiveness, you just walk around with that compassion, or you have it in your pocket and you know that you can pull it out whenever you need to. That self-forgiveness thing is a powerful, powerful thing. It's something that we deserve. It's something that we should just really commit ourselves to, you know, delivering to ourselves as we move along this wonderful, wonderful journey that we get to experience. Okay, the fourth principle of the SOS is the effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. And I talk about that ad nauseum as well, because one of the other gifts that we give to ourselves when we start just delving into this activation of our SOS is we start to pay attention, or at least we should start to pay more attention to the words that we speak and the thoughts that we think. We start to pay more attention to it because I'm telling you, and I can't tell you why, but I believe it wholeheartedly that what we think about is what shows up in our life. What we speak about is what we show up in our is what shows up in our life. Okay? That there's this magnetic thing that's in our minds, that's in our brains, and it has to do with our subconscious. And it is neutral. It's neutral. It takes on the energy of whatever our thoughts and words are, and it attracts to us experiences. It attracts to us people. Our words and our thoughts are like boomerangs. When we think certain things, when we speak certain things, they go out like a boomerang and they snag that person or those people or those experiences, and they bring them right back to us, right back to us. You know, one of the things that I like to compare it to is we don't understand really and truly how electricity works, but we do know that when we flip a switch, when we walk into a room, that the light comes on, right? And we know that there's something going on internally inside of the walls that instantly allows that room to be flooded with light, okay? We don't have to understand how it works in order for us to know that it works, in order to know that it's beneficial, in order for us to know that it's useful. I think that the same thing applies to our thoughts and our words. It will not hurt you to engage in an experiment and just decide that, okay, for the next, you know, day, 2 days, however long, I am going to speak only positive words. I am going to think only positive things and just see what happens. What can it hurt? Tell me, please, what can it hurt? It can't hurt anything. It cannot. But I am telling you that there is a correlation between the thoughts that you think and the words that you speak. There's a correlation between your thoughts and words with the life that you are living. It's not a coincidence. The circumstances, the people, everything that is in your life is directly correlated to your thoughts and your words. And I think it's worth an experiment. I think it's worth, you know, giving it a shot. If, you know, there's some things in your space, in your world, in your life that you're not pleased with, think about, you know, the kinds of thoughts that you think as it relates to that particular thing. You know, are you constantly complaining about that particular thing? Are you thinking, you know, why me as it relates to that particular thing? And try an experiment and first of all, see if there's anything positive about the situation. Anything. And it could possibly be that, you know, whatever the situation is, that it taught you something about yourself. It taught you a strength. It taught you how to be resilient. It taught you that you have courage. It taught you something positive about yourself. Okay? I'm getting off on this whole effective use of thoughts and words because I just believe it. I believe it with all of my heart and soul. And I think that, you know, if we really want to change the quality of our life, it begins with changing the quality of our thoughts and it begins with changing the quality of our words. So, yeah. And then that whole thing about our subconscious mind being neutral and taking on the energy of whatever we give it. So, you know, if we're constantly complaining about a situation, what we're saying to our subconscious mind is bring on more of that because that's what I like. Bring on more of those kinds of people, those kinds of experiences, because this is what I'm spending most of my time talking about anyway. And so the subconscious mind is like, this is what, you know, this is what she's in alignment with, so let me bring more of that. And then conversely, if you focus on what you're grateful for, which goes into the next one, the inactive SOS rising gratitude, if you focus on what you're grateful for, then your subconscious mind says, okay, so that's what she likes. That's what she needs in her life. So let me bring on more experiences for which she can be grateful. Let me bring on more of that. What you focus on is what expands in your life. What you focus on most is what expands in your life. Where your attention goes, your intention flows, and your energy follows suit, and it brings into your life what you focus on the most. Okay? The whole gratitude thing is a game changer, is a life changer. You know, when you make gratitude a regular, daily part of your life will change. That's just the way it goes. Your life will change because, again, it's energy. It goes to your thoughts and your words and what you put out by way of what you speak and what you think about. That's the energy that you bring back into your space. That's the energy that you bring back into your space. So, yeah, making gratitude a regular part of your life is one of the biggest gifts that you can give yourself because it just changes. It just changes the way that you see things, you know. One of the things that I suggested with gratitude is keeping a gratitude journal, you know, and with a gratitude journal, you write down at least 5 things at the end of your day, you know, that happened that day that you're grateful for. And, you know, some days, again, you know, it'll be a challenge for you to come up with those 5 things. And other days, you have a hard time getting your pen to stop writing because once you start focusing on gratitude, the more you see it. That's one of the beautiful things about it. The more you focus on things for which to be grateful, the more you discover things for which to be grateful, you know. And it helps you to not sweat the small stuff. It helps you to see things from a different perspective. And it helps you with your stress level, too, you know. It just helps you to just have a less stressful day. Yeah. So the next principle is an active SOS provides access to inner splendor, which reveals life purpose. There's this thing inside of each one of us. It's inside of you, it's inside of you, it's inside of me, it's inside of each and every one of us. And it's unique. It has your name on it. And the only way to activate it is by spending time in the silence. But once you activate it, you know that you've activated it because it just it starts to reveal to you what it is you are here to do. And, you've already gotten clues, because life gives you clues. Your life gives you clues about why you're here. You know, there are certain things that when you engage, you know, in certain activities, you lose track of time. You know, it almost takes on a meditative state for you. You know, you're so immersed in it that you don't even realize that an hour or 2 hours, 3 hours, however, you know, whatever the time frame is, you don't even realize that time frame went by because you were so immersed in whatever it is that is a part of your inner splendor, is a part of your life purpose. And, you know, when you look back over your life at the things that bring you joy, that, you know, that you engage in, those are clues. Those are clues. The things that you do really, really well with, you know, like without effort, those are clues to your life purpose. Those are clues. And you should pay attention to them, and you should nurture them, and you should take them seriously, and you should do everything in your power to deliver those life that life purpose, so that it's not something that ends up in the cemetery where there are so many unfulfilled life purposes, because people went their entire lives without accessing that inner splendor. They went their entire lives preoccupied with what was going on with them externally and never got around to, you know, discovering what the treasure is that they have inside. And some of them did not realize that they had this treasure inside, right? And some, you know, had other things going on in their external world that possibly prevented them from going within and discovering that they had this hidden treasure, okay? Well, you guys are obligated. You are obligated to go inside, discover your inner splendor, discover your life purpose, and share it with the world. It's not for you to keep. Whatever it is, you know, if it means that, you know, you're supposed to become a teacher, or if you're already a teacher but you're supposed to put a certain kind of spin on it, you know, if you are supposed to be an activist, if you are a writer, if you are a singer, if whatever it is, it has your name on it. And when you discover what it is, first of all, it is thrilled, because it's been sitting there waiting for you to discover it, you know, and it wants you to do whatever it takes to deliver it to the world. Trust me on that. Please trust me on that. It wants you to discover it, and it wants you to do whatever it takes to deliver it to the world. And that's what happens when you activate your SOS, and, you know, you follow all of these principles, spending time in the silence, forgiving yourself, cutting yourself some slack for things that may have happened in your past, just deciding that you are not going to beat yourself up about your past anymore, just making that decision and embracing that you did the best you could with what you had, and deciding that the only time that you are going to look at your past is to celebrate yourself, to decide that, you know what, this is what I accomplished, this is what I endured, this is what I was able to survive, and I'm not going to beat myself up about this stuff. I'm going to celebrate myself because I'm still standing. I am still here. I am ready to go and make it do what it do. So no more beating yourself up about your past. That's a non-negotiable, people. That's a non-negotiable. All right. So what else? Yeah, the seven principles. And then the last one, the seventh one, is it says the quality of a woman's SOS determines the quality of all her other sisterhood exchanges. And so the first six really speak to the sisterhood of self, you know, how we interact with ourselves, how we engage ourselves, you know, the work that we're doing to peel back the layers and to, if we haven't already discovered, to discover our life purpose, and if we have, you know, spending time in the silence, practicing self-forgiveness, indulging in gratitude, all of that just clears the way. If you've already discovered what your life purpose is, doing those things, it clears the way for you to manifest your life purpose in an easier way. Because this is one of the things about your life purpose. You're not supposed to struggle to make it manifest. You are not supposed to struggle. You know, there may be some challenges that you have to experience that go along with it, but stick with it, because ultimately, once you hit that sweet spot as it relates to your life purpose, everything just starts to flow. Everything starts to flow. Everything that you need shows up, the people that you need to speak to, the books that you need to read, you know, any information, resources, whatever the case may be, that shows up because the universe wants you to deliver this life purpose. The universe wants you to make this life count. Trust me when I say that. When I hear people, you know, talk about how hard life is and what a struggle it is, I say a prayer for them. I don't hear, you know, people say that kind of thing a whole lot anymore. But I say a prayer for them because, really, you know, life is what we make it, and the definition that we give to it, it goes back to our thoughts and our words. So if we're saying that life is a struggle, guess what we're telling our subconscious mind? Bring me things that represent struggle. Bring me, you know, situations that are hardships and you know, that keep me in this particular place, right? So I happen to think that life is beautiful. I happen to think that life is wonderful. It's awesome. And that it unfolds according to the energy that we put into it. That doesn't mean that, you know, when you have that kind of perspective, that kind of philosophy, that traumatic things don't happen. I'm the last person to tell you that. My mom died when I was 11. I was sexually abused when I was a little girl. I have two brothers who were violently killed in separate situations. I've experienced a whole lot of death in my life. But you know what? Life is good. Life is beautiful. Life is what I make it. Life is what I make it. I still have breath in my body. I still have the opportunity to take what I have been given with this life that I've been blessed with. I still have the opportunity to make that what I want it to be. All those experiences that I just described, I could choose to allow those things to stop me. I could choose to say, oh, woe is me. All of these things happen in my life, and because those things happen in my life, you know, I can no longer live my life to the fullest. I can choose to do that. I can choose to do that. I choose not. I choose not. And I'm saying that to you to encourage you to think the same way. You know, when we lose people, we do them a disservice if we allow their transition to be the thing that keeps us stuck. They don't want that. They don't want that. If they could speak to us from where they are, they would be like, no, 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 no. You know, I'm sorry I'm not there with you anymore, but you're still there. You still get a chance. Okay, maybe you could do some things that I wasn't able to do. And that's one of the things I think about sometimes, too. My mom died before she was 40 years old, you know. And so there are a lot of things that she did not get a chance to do as a woman. And I'd be doing her a disservice if I lived my life constantly just, you know, depressed and stuck in, you know, losing her. I have to think about what she brought to the table before she transitioned. I have to think about, you know, if she was able to be here, what kind of life would she want to live? Okay? She's not here. And I believe with every fiber of my being that she is here, you know, in the spiritual sense. But if she could speak to me and tell me what she wants me to do with my life, if she could speak to me and either encourage me or discourage me, it's going to be all about the encouragement. It's going to be all about baby girl, baby girl, baby girl. You are now, what, 52 years old? I didn't get to reach 40. You have an opportunity to make your life what you want it to be. I am like, oh, my God, I'm getting so far off track about the Sisterhood Exchange. But I Spirit just poured this through me, and I just feel like I just need to share with you. Somebody needed to hear this tonight. Somebody needed to hear this tonight, and so I am, you know, an open and willing vessel to let this flow through me, because let me just tell you unequivocally, this is not a dress rehearsal. Your life is in session, okay? Those things that you keep putting off, those dreams, those goals that you keep talking yourself out of doing, you got to cut it out, man. You got to cut it out. You got to get on with it. You deserve it. You deserve it, if for no other reason. You deserve to see what it feels like to accomplish that goal that has your name on it. You deserve to see what that experience is. You don't want to do that coulda, woulda, shoulda dance 5, 10, 15 years from now. Oh, I wonder what might have happened had I just tried it. Oh, I wonder what it would have felt like if I had just stepped out on faith, you know, if I had just moved outside of my comfort zone. You don't want to do that coulda, woulda, shoulda dance. You just don't. That's what I think. think the sisterhood of self is really all about. When we flow through those principles, we do the work. And trust me when I say that it is work, but it is worth it. It is worth it. You know, there are things that you need to heal from in order for your inner splendor and your life purpose to flow free. Do the work. It is worth it. Do the work. You deserve it. You deserve it. It is your birthright, but nobody can just give it to you. I am rereading one of my favorite books, Think and Grow Rich, and one of the things that Napoleon Hill hammers in that book is there is no such thing as something for nothing. You want peace in your life, you got to do the work. You want joy, you want love, you want prosperity, you have got to do the work. You have got to do the work. And these seven principles provide a real good blueprint, a real good guide for doing the work to unleash what it is that you need to unleash. And I'm just excited for any of you who take this seriously. I'm excited because what comes with it is phenomenal, and you deserve it. Let me take a deep breath. Yeah, okay. So, again, this is Michelle Hollinger. I was on a serious soapbox right there, just encouraging you guys to just embrace yourself, honor yourself, take yourself seriously, do whatever it takes to uncover your life purpose and get on with it. Get on with it. Whenever I see, you know, anything in the news about, you know, a woman who has transitioned at what we call, you know, a young age, it just encourages me. It just reminds me that, you know what, this isn't a dress rehearsal. You know, I hope that sister was able to do everything that she was here to do before she left. That's the thought that I have about you know, when I see women who transition, you know, at what we call young ages. I think everybody transitions, you know, according to, you know, to where they are. Let me not digress, because that's a conversation that could just go real deep and take the rest of the night. But yeah, anyway, so let me get back on track with the sisterhood exchange. I just really went into the sisterhood of self and why, you know, just doing the work as it relates to that is so important. And then the last several weeks we got to part two, which is sister to sister. And all of these chapters really are like icing on the cake, because if you really do the work with, you know, with your SOS, you really activate it and you do what it takes to keep it activated, then the way that you interact with other women, if it was an issue for you before, you will experience a transformation with that, you know. And let me go back to the first chapter, because that kind of describes what happens. If you've done this work on yourself, if you've done this work to, you know, with the sisterhood of self, then there will come a time where you will just feel this energy shift as it relates to other women. Okay, so I'm going to read on page 49 in part two, Sister to Sister. One of the benefits of an active SOS is that you begin to see the sacred in the space where other women exist. You become keenly aware that your possession of an SOS is universal, that all women have one that is either asleep or awake, and the more awake or the more active yours becomes, the more you want other women to experience it too. You begin to understand that a woman's current issues did not magically appear, and you're willing to exchange judgment for compassion because, as Sister Maya Angelou wisely told us, when you know better, you do better. Your, quote, friends and enemies are morphing into, quote, friends and teachers. Increasingly, women who want to see you shine start to appear with regularity, just as you're wondering what's up with your growing desire to see other women excel. Where jealousy reared its head in the past, you're surprised by a bubbling joy that now feels real. A subtle desire to improve the quality of the energy that flows sister to sister is emerging within you. Like dormant faith, a mustard seed-sized bit of intention added to an active SOS takes your sister-to-sister exchanges to an entirely different level. Yeah. So that's essentially what I was saying. You know, when you've done the work on your SOS, you just kind of start to notice that, you know, the way you interact with other women, it just starts to change. And the kind of women that are, that you find yourself spending time with, that's going to start to shift as well, because the higher your energy goes, the more you attract women who also are vibing at that level, at that energy level. And women who, you know, may be at a different level, who may be engaged in some things that are not in alignment with the way you now see sisterhood, they're going to start to kind of drift out of your life, you know, naturally. They're going to start to just kind of drift out of your life, because the way that you are now speaking, the way that you are now carrying yourself, will no longer, it won't be appealing to them. And the way that they behave and the way that they carry themselves won't be appealing to you. And, you know, either one of you will change to you know, realign, or, you know, you'll find a way for you to no longer have that particular relationship to be as predominant in your life as it was before. And that just is one of those things that kind of starts to happen naturally. And it's important to pay attention to it, because, and I talked about this in the chapter on who's in your circle, because when that starts to happen, sometimes because, you know, we feel this obligation to maintain relationships that aren't working, to maintain, you know, an allegiance to someone with whom we're no longer in alignment with, we'll sometimes continue to just hang out in environments that don't do us any good, you know, and that can stagnate you. That can block your growth. That can block you from going where you're trying to go. And this is not to say that you should or that you have to, you know, totally discontinue particular relationships or, you know, just cut people out of your life, but it behooves you to be aware of the kind of energy that you're allowing in your space, because if it's not serving you, then you have to have the courage to redefine it. You have to have the courage to decide that, okay, this is someone that I'm going to put on my do not tell my dreams to list. I'm still going to hang out with them. I'm still going to vibe and kick it with them. But when it comes time to talking about going back to school, starting a small business, or, you know, doing whatever that thing is that has your name on it, if that person has in the past, you know, tried to discourage you, or, you know, did anything that made you second guess yourself, or they just weren't supportive, they weren't encouraging, you know, it's one thing to give constructive criticism, and then it's one thing to just criticize people all the time, you know. So there's a difference, and you know whether someone is being beneficial to you, whether someone is trying to be helpful or not. And you have to have the courage to decide whether you are going to allow those types of people to continue to be in your circle or not. It's up to you, right? Okay, so that's one of the things that we talked about in Sister to Sister. We talked about their relationship with your mom. We talked about why you should stop gossiping. And I'm telling you that when you do the work on your SOS, gossiping is one of those things that you just no longer have a taste for. It's just not interesting or anything that you have time for anymore. We talked about jealousy and how when it shows up, it's really a gift if you have the courage to explore it, because in order for you to identify any quality in another woman, in order for it to resonate with you in any way, you know, to make you feel some kind of way, you have to also have that quality. And what I explained with that is that if you see another woman, you know, being successful or excelling in any kind of way, and, you know, something about that makes you feel jealous, it's because there's something inside of you that is in alignment with what she, that the quality that she has, that you have not done the work to nurture, that you have not done the work to allow it to manifest in your life. But if you decide that, you know what, in your quiet time, because you don't have to talk to anybody about this, in your quiet time, you just decide that, okay, you know what, this thing with Joan, or, you know, whatever the case, whatever her name is, and I'm just, let's say Jane Doe. This thing with Jane Doe makes me feel a certain kind of way. What is it about, you know, what she's doing that's making me feel the J word? And if you look at it, you know, she's gone back to school, you know, she's gotten her degree, she's done this, that, or the other. If you look at the behavior beneath it, if you look at what, you know, it took courage for her to go back to school, You know, she's over 40 and she went back to school. It took courage for her to do it. You know, she stuck with it, so she's persistent. You know, people were questioning whether she should do it or not, and she, you know, stayed focused. She was steadfast. Those qualities are qualities that you have within yourself that, for whatever reason, you have yet to nurture and explore. And when you feel jealous about anybody else's success, anybody else's situation, that's really what it says. That's really what it's about. That's a message to yourself that you owe it to yourself in the silence to take a look at what is it that's triggering this feeling? What is it that's triggering this feeling that's commonly known as jealousy? Explore it. Look at what you've done with those same qualities. You know, if you haven't given those qualities the attention that is required in order for you to use them, you know, to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve. If you haven't, that's the gift. Feeling that way about this other woman was the gift to yourself, the message to yourself to get on about your business, to get on about exercising your persistence, engaging your courage, being steadfast about this thing that has your name on it. And it takes telling our ego to go sit down somewhere, because in order for us to sometimes recognize that, okay, this woman has it going on, you know, and it's making me feel some kind of way, we got to tell our ego to go sit down somewhere. Our ego wants us to be stuck at jealousy. Our ego doesn't want us to explore beyond that and to discover the treasure that's wrapped inside of it. Okay, so that was the discussion in that chapter on called Deeper Than Jealousy. Let me breathe. Another chapter was on live, and that's just a template for how we can engage with other women when they're discussing important things with us. Then another one was who's in your circle. And then, yeah, we're up to reality shows as reflectors. So I'm going to go ahead and read that one, and then we can discuss that a little bit. Let me give the number again in case you guys want to call in with questions, comments, or brilliant insights on this last night of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. The number is 646-595-2081. Again, I am your very grateful host, Michelle Hollinger. Thank you for hanging out with me, having this really important discussion about sisterhood. Okay, so tonight's topic, reality shows as reflectors. I'm going to go ahead and read this chapter. And I have an italics here. In the hardback edition of the Sisterhood Exchange, I encouraged women to ditch certain types of reality shows, but I've had a change of heart. Because everything that you're drawn to is a reflection of your consciousness, reality shows could serve as a helpful barometer of where you are in your embrace of your SOS. The SOS awakens an innate desire to celebrate sisterhood instead of degrading it by watching women disrespecting themselves and each other on TV. The 30,000-plus women who signed a petition demanding that the producers of Basketball Wives present women in a more positive light were certainly operating from their SOS. Honoring your SOS makes it extremely difficult to sit through an hour of quote-unquote reality that demeans, humiliates, or in any way celebrates behavior that debases the relationship that a woman has with another woman and or the relationship that she has with herself. Next page. Your embrace of your SOS is the foundation for how you view and interact with other women. The deeper your immersion into your SOS, the less interest you have in reality shows where women engage in fistfights, gossip, and backstabbing behavior. So let's undress this a little bit. All right. We're back on page 71. Because everything that you're drawn to is a reflection of your consciousness, reality shows could serve as a helpful barometer of where you are in your embrace of your SOS. The SOS awakens an innate desire to celebrate sisterhood instead of degrading it by watching women disrespecting themselves and each other on TV. So essentially, the more that you activate your SOS and then you do the work to maintain the activation of your SOS, the more you are vibing with your inner splendor, with your life purpose, the more you just recognize just how sacred sisterhood is, the less interest and or time you have to see other women behaving in ways that bring sisterhood down. They give sisterhood a bad name. And so what that paragraph essentially says is if you are still drawn to reality shows where women are, you know, gossiping and backstabbing and they get into fist fights, it is like you are holding up a mirror to your own level of consciousness, because those kinds of behaviors are still okay within you. And I'm saying this without judgment. I'm saying this as an observation. I'm saying this based on what I know. And that's essentially what it boils down to, because, again, what Maya Angelou says, when we know better, we do better. And we recognize that in other women. We recognize that when other women know better, they also do better. And one of the gifts that happens with this active SOS is that not only do we develop compassion for ourselves, we develop compassion for other women who are still behaving in ways that are not in alignment with a higher level of sisterhood. And so, again, you know, once your SOS is activated and you continue to do the work to maintain the activation, your level of consciousness shifts to a different level. And it doesn't mean that you're better than anybody. It doesn't mean that anybody is at a lower level than you. It's just that what's in alignment with your consciousness changes. And you just no longer have the taste, the interest, the desire to see other women beating each other up, cursing at each other, gossiping about each other, backstabbing each other. That it just is no longer a part of your consciousness. And so you just start to divorce yourself from the interest in seeing that played out on TV. You don't want to give it your energy. You don't want it in your energy. It's really an accurate reflection. It's really an accurate reflection of your level of consciousness. You know, I know that there are women who have high levels of consciousness who consider watching certain reality shows their quote-unquote guilty pleasure. And the only thing I would say about that is two things, actually. If you can watch a show like that and see it only as entertainment, only as, you know, something for you to view without you getting caught up in it, you know, without you... I'm having a hard time even like, explaining this, because a part of me believes that in order for you to watch it, you have to be in alignment with it. Your consciousness has to be vibing with what you are watching other women do, you know. So it's kind of hard for me to explain what I was about to explain, so I'm not even going to go there. But the other thing that I was going to say is, I forgot what I was going to say because I digressed on this other thing. Okay, so anyway, it's a reflection of your consciousness. It really is. It really and truly is a reflection of your consciousness. And, you know, if you're okay with it, if you're okay with that level of consciousness for yourself, then you're going to be okay with continuing to watch those types of things on TV and, you know, supporting it, because it's a reflection of your level of consciousness. So, there were 30,000-plus women several years ago who signed a petition demanding that the producers of Basketball Wives present women in a more positive light. And those women were definitely operating from an active SOS, because they grew tired of seeing, you know, women, grown women, on television cursing at each other, pulling each other's hair, fighting, you know, sleeping with each other's men, all of these other things that get glorified on reality shows. And I know it was at least 30,000 women. That's why I say 30,000 plus. I don't know what the final number was, but these women got together and they signed a petition and they got Basketball Wives, they got the producer's attention, because at the time, the producer was, who was it, Shawnee O'Neal, Shaquille O'Neal's ex-wife. And I remember seeing an article somewhere where she decided that she was going to take the reality show in a different direction, you know, take it to a higher level, and she was going to reduce the amount of fistfights, gossip, et cetera, that was happening on the show, because those women got her attention, and apparently, you know, something that they said resonated with her. And so she thought that, you know, they could do a better job. And I don't think that show is still on the air. I'm not sure. But, yeah, she definitely listened, and what she allowed to be on the show was a reflection of the concern that she had for what these women brought to her attention. The next paragraph says, honoring your SOS makes it extremely difficult to sit through an hour of quote-unquote reality that demeans, humiliates, or in any way celebrates behavior that debases the relationship that a woman has with her, with herself and or another woman. And one of the other things that happens with that, too, when you are doing the work to activate your SOS and then to maintain the activation, you don't have time. You don't have time. Your inner splendor, your life purpose, you know, when those things are revealed to you, and I mentioned that they come fully clothed, so the steps that you need to take, the books that you need to read, the people that you need to listen to, the seminars that you need to attend, are everything and everything that comes along with activating your life purpose and your inner splendor, all that comes along with it. It is revealed to you. And when you pour yourself into that, first of all, it motivates you to keep on moving. It motivates you to keep on, you know, doing what you're doing. And the more you do it, you just don't have the time for that other foolishness. You just don't have the interest and you don't have the time. And you recognize that the thing that I said about your thoughts and your words being so closely correlated to the quality of your life and what's going on in your life, that you don't even, in addition to paying attention to your own thoughts and words, you don't want to be exposed to other people whose use of their thoughts and words reflect their unawareness of how powerful their thoughts and words are. I'm breathing. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say on that topic, on reality shows as reflectors. They just show you where you are, you know. So if you are looking at a reality show, something like Shark Tank, that's saying to you that, you know what, you want information, you want motivation, you want inspiration to start your own business. You know, you want to get what is being displayed on that very positive reality show, and you can use that to move yourself forward. You know, if you look at a reality show like Iyanla Van Zandt and the beautiful work that she does with helping people to peel back their layers and to heal, you know, from past hurts and childhood issues, then you too are interested in having those kinds of things happen in your life. It's a reflection. It's a reflection of where you are. You know, if you're looking at a reality show like Super Soul Sunday on Oprah Winfrey's network, if you are looking at, you know, her having these deep spiritual conversations with people who help you to become more aware, you know, of your spirituality, of why you're here, of, you know, just the different kinds of work that you can do to peel back the layers and to help you to move forward. If you're looking at a show like that, it's because it's a reflection of where you are. It's a reflection of the work that you've done and that you are doing on yourself, and you really should congratulate yourself. You know, that's one of those situations of a reality show being a reflector that says that, yep, you're on the right track, keep it up, keep up the good work. Okay, so that's what I mean by a reality show being a reflector for you. You know, the kinds of reality shows that you look at, and there's some wonderful reality shows. I don't knock reality shows, but there are some that just, you know, not only do those reality shows generate negative energy, the negative ones I'm talking about, you know, the backstabbing, gossiping, fist fights, that kind of thing. There's this energy the negative energy that's swirling around on that set, that's swirling around on that television show, and it is pouring into your space. You are attracting it into your space. Not only is it a reflector of your level of consciousness, but it's like this dance, this give and take, where, you know, it is there on that set, is there on that on that television show, and it's also flowing into your life because your thoughts are in alignment with it and you attracted it into your space. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting off the reality show thing because I think I said all that I need to say about it. The phone number, in case you guys want to call in and challenge me on it, dispute what I'm saying, the number is 646-595-2081. Press 1 if you want to get on the air and have a conversation about these reality shows with me. Okay. Otherwise, I am moving forward. Next chapter, pay it forward. This is one of those things that kind of automatically becomes a desire of yours when you are doing the work on your SOS. If you're not already you know, in the habit of paying it forward, if you're not already in the habit of, you know, doing wonderful things for other people, then this particular philosophy is one that will possibly awaken in you in a strong degree. Because once you get this, once you really understand how powerful an active SOS is, and you start to see the benefits of it happening in your own life, you don't want to keep it to yourself. You know, so paying it forward can take on, you know, a number of different manifestations. It can just be a matter of you sharing verbally, talking to other people about what you've discovered, you know, letting them know what an active and an inactive SOS is, you know, the sister friends in your life. You know, you can pay it forward like that. Or it can be a more formal, you know, volunteering, mentoring, those kinds of things, community service, whatever, you know, resonates with you and has your name on it. Because I think that when we volunteer, mentor, you know, when we do community service, when we're sharing our gifts and talents, it takes it to an even higher level, because there's all this joy and love and positive energy that's already, you know, encased in our life purpose. And when we use that to pay it forward, then, you know, we're giving people a part of ourselves in the most beautiful way possible, right? Let me go ahead and read this chapter. Okay, pay it forward. In the movie of the same name, the movie's main character, a youth of about 10 years old, is given an assignment by his social studies teacher that involves finding ways to improve the lives of others. The young boy convinced people that The young boy convinced people that whenever a good deed was gifted to them, they in turn were to perform a similar or better deed for someone else by, quote, paying it forward. There's a spoiler alert. If you haven't seen this movie and you want to see it, I'm about to give a spoiler alert. The movie ends with the youngster's seemingly untimely death. You know, if you still want to see this movie, just knowing that the kid dies doesn't spoil it. But I just need to let you know, and to say my bad if you want to see it, and I just spoiled the ending for you. But with his message of paying it forward firmly planted in the nation's collective psyche. Okay. As you embrace your SOS, as you start to sharpen your focus on the things that matter and take the necessary steps to create the life you want to live, your inner strength, courage, and wisdom will grow deeper, wider, and flow more freely. To keep it for yourself is a mistake. There are other women who must receive some of what you learn. There could be a young girl in a community program craving the guidance only you can provide. There might be an older woman troubled by the quote-unquote late start on her dreams, who needs just the right person with just the right words to keep her going. There could be a sister friend in your age group with commonalities you have yet to discover, waiting for an exchange that will be the birth of your new inner circle. There are clubs, organizations, and groups of women with a collective consciousness to help change the world, and one of those groups has your name, has a position that has your name on it. A part of keeping the sisterhood exchange alive and well is your effort to pay it forward. Inherent in that effort is your acknowledgement of other women who have paid it forward to you. Who was she? Was there more than one? A teacher, your mother, a special aunt or neighbor? Who had the ability to say or do the right things at the right time, to help you activate your SOS? In her or in their honor, pay the goodness forward and watch it multiply. That's just one of those things that just comes along with activating your SOS. You just want to help others to also activate theirs, you know. And, you know, as it relates to helping young girls to activate their SOS, well, we could really give young girls a gift by helping them to understand that they have the power to create the lives of their dreams. They have the power to, you know, discover their life purpose, to activate their inner splendor, and to make it a reality. And so this chapter just encourages you, once you've activated your SOS, to not keep it to yourself, because I can guarantee you that if you are doing the work, or if you've done the work to activate your SOS, you've discovered some awesome things about yourself, you know, some more awesome things, because you probably already knew some awesome stuff about yourself. But with this process, you can't help but to discover more awesome things about yourself. And, you know, to the extent that it translates to your ability to pay it forward, I just encourage you to just embrace that, because it's not for you to keep to yourself. It's not for you to keep to yourself. To have this conversation about sisterhood, you know, if you have sister friends in your life, I would strongly encourage you guys to make this a book club discussion. You know, just have them over, you know, do a potluck and discuss the sisterhood exchange, discuss the sisterhood of self, discuss the whole sister-to-sister dynamic, discuss it, and then encourage them to allow that ripple effect to continue to flow outside of your circle. It's powerful, ladies. It's really, really powerful. And gentlemen, if there are any of you listening, I know we have some honorary sisters who also listen. And I thank you guys for that, too. And this also applies to you. It also applies to you. Next chapter, fine examples of sisterhood. Okay, there are many fine examples of sisterhood happening all over the country, indeed all over the world. Women like Mary J. Blige, who created the Mary J. Blige Center for Women to help them to discover their inner greatness. Women like Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg, who encourages women to take their rightful place as leaders in corporate America by taking responsibility for their success. And women like Oprah, who know that when you educate a girl, you change her life. These women and many, many others have an active SOS and demonstrate day in and day out that high-quality sisterhood exchanges are alive and well. Among these exquisite examples stands one of the most beautiful sisterhood exchanges that I have ever witnessed, because it took a traditional sisterhood dynamic and flipped it on its head. By doing so, it demonstrated the power of sisterhood and a sister-to-sister exchange that is not only expected to be dysfunctional, but often has its toxicity encouraged and celebrated. It happened between Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's second wife, and Sherry Zampino, Will's first wife and mother of his oldest son, Trey. Stepmothers and second wives have a uniquely challenging job of setting the tone for how the blended families interact. The encounters between the newly created brood can be stressful simply by virtue of the quote-unquote failed marriage and mommy's or daddy's new relationship with someone other than mommy or daddy. But a second wife with an inactive SOS can create a toxic environment that adversely affects her new family and anyone who interacts with them, from teachers to neighbors. Jada's powerfully active SOS would not allow her to exist in a quote-unquote traditional blended-type family environment. During an appearance on the Oprah Winfrey Show eons ago, Jada described how she intentionally made Cherie a part of her family's inner circle. The petite dynamo took the typically negative image of a stepmother, second wife, and totally recreated it by acknowledging the sacredness of her stepson's relationship with his mother. She then allowed that connection to be the foundation for the exchange between the two women. Selfless, classy, and filled with a wisdom typically exuded in a woman who has graced the planet for far more years, Jada's exchange with Cherie is what sisterhood is all about, an active SOS encountering itself in another and creating a sister-to-sister dynamic that blessed them and all who witnessed it. I don't know if any of you guys saw that. I can't remember the year that I actually saw Jada Pinkett Smith on the Oprah Winfrey Show. This is when Oprah still had her show. But she talked about, and it wasn't the topic of the whole show, but, you know, in Oprah's interview with Jada, they got on the subject of this blended family. And Jada talked about how, you know, it wasn't smooth sailing, you know, from the beginning, and that their relationship has certainly had its obstacles and its bumps and bruises. But she said that her intention was to recognize that her stepson should never have to choose between his mom and his stepmom, his mom's family with her new husband, or his father, Will, and his family with Jada. She said that you know, her intention was to never have him have to be in a position where he had to choose who he was going to spend time with, and you know, to choose loyalty between these two parts of his family. She recognized that as his stepmother, she could give him a sacred, beautiful gift of having the mothers in his life, his biological mom and Jada, his new stepmom, to connect at a sisterhood level and to make him their focus. She said, again, it wasn't smooth sailing, but when they both got on board, they both got on the same page, that Trey was the most important dynamic in this whole relationship, they were able to forge a bond that is uncommon between stepmothers and the husband's first wife. So that thing just blew me away because, like I said, it was several years ago. So Jada was, you know, was I think she might have been in her maybe 30s at the time. So it was just uncommon to see a woman of that age to embrace sisterhood the way that she did. But it just moved me, and I'm sure, you know, the other people who saw it as well, it just really moved me at a deep level to see that in action, to see that as possible, to see that with intention, you can elevate a relationship with a woman who, in a traditional sense, you know, you might normally have an adversary or a strained or a difficult relationship with. It doesn't have to be that way. With intention, you can create the kind of relationship that you want to have with her, and you can, you know, take a step back and recognize that it's not just about you, and it's not just about her. It's about the kids and this family. It's about everybody that's a part of this now blended family. And I was just, I just developed. I already had a huge level of respect for Jada Pinkett Smith, but when I saw that, it just took my level of respect for her to an entirely different level. I love that woman. I think that she is the real deal, and I think that the way that she lives her life is a reflection of that. And I think that the example that she sets for sisterhood is one that we should all, or could all, be grateful for. Okay, so yeah. That's where I went with that. That's where that whole chapter came from. And you can Google, Jada Pinkett Smith and maybe stepmom, or Jada Pinkett Smith on the Oprah Winfrey Show. I think that there's a YouTube snippet of her having that particular conversation. I think it's worth looking at it, because that to me was just really, really powerful, and it showed that she has this level of wisdom and maturity that's just at a really, really, really high level. And I commend her for it. And if I ever meet her, you know, not if, when I meet her, I am going to thank her face to face for giving us that beautiful example. Okay? Breathing before I go on to the next chapter, which is aptly called The Sisterhood Exchange. Okay, so this chapter says, an awareness that energy flows beneath all sisterhood exchanges activates an obligation to align with the knowing better, doing better philosophy. Awareness obviates your ability to minimize the mutual power that exists between you and other women, and certainly discourages the misuse of it. With awareness comes responsibility. Conscious women who behave unconsciously not only stunt their growth, they perpetuate the vicious cycle of dysfunctional sisterhood, indirectly stunting the growth of sisterhood itself. Your SOS impacts your life and creates a ripple effect that touches the lives of the women and girls with whom you interact at home, in the workplace, in the social setting, and beyond. Women you view from afar, whose lives are projected onto the television and movie screens, whose words you read in cherished novels, and whose lyrics infuse the songs of your life, are also a part of your sisterhood exchanges. Your SOS also impacts and is impacted by the woman whose ascension up the corporate ladder is chronicled on the pages of your local newspaper or favorite magazine. The single mother who seems unable to escape the dependency of public assistance, the drug addicted prostitute, the girls gone wild, the prominent domestic violence victim, and the women who embrace a different religion, different political party, and are a different race or sexual orientation. The sisterhood exchange knows no boundaries. How you respond to even them, those you do not know personally, defines the quality of the energy circulating in your immediate world. The thoughts that you think about them, who they are, and how they choose to live are infused with energy, and you keep a replica of all energy that you exude. Inherent in an active SOS is wisdom, tolerance, and maturity, and awareness that an intention to live and let live frees your inner splendor to flow freely through space previously constricted by judgment. Intentionally sending positive energy to other women places you in the sacred circulation of sisterhood exchanges that attracts what you exude, exudes what you attract, and so on and so on. Okay, this is one of those chapters that kind of poured through me because when I read it, I said, who wrote this? And why did she use all these words that that could have been replaced with something from more of a layman's perspective? Anyway, that's the writer in me. All right, so the first paragraph says, an awareness that energy flows beneath all sisterhood exchanges activates an obligation to align with the knowing better and doing better. Yeah, when you recognize that the way that we interact with each other, that there's energy that's flowing between us, you have an obligation to set an intention to make that energy positive, to make that energy of a higher level. You know, when you are aware that the way that you interact with other women is based on how you interact with yourself, then you have a sisterly obligation to be the one in that dynamic, to be the woman in that exchange, to take the energy to a higher level. Especially if the woman with whom you're interacting, if she's unaware that, you know, that there's this energy flowing between us, okay, or between you. With awareness comes great responsibility, which is what I just said. Conscious women who behave unconsciously not only stunt their own growth, they perpetuate the vicious cycle of dysfunctional sisterhood, indirectly stunting the growth of sisterhood itself. So once you're aware of this dynamic, once you're aware of how sisterhood plays out, but you continue to behave as though you're not aware, you stunt your own growth. Because what you're saying is that not only are you not interested in activating your SOS, you're not interested in reaping the benefits that come along with an activated SOS. So you stunt your own growth. You continue to be engaged in mediocrity. You continue to talk about your dreams and goals, but you don't get around to actually acting on your dreams and goals because you have done some of the work to activate your SOS, but you haven't like really committed yourself to it. You haven't really immersed yourself into doing the work to free your inner splendor and to allow yourself to experience every single one of those principles and to experience what comes along with it. So this is one of those situations where knowing better should definitely lead to doing better. Once you know, once you understand, you know, the power of your thoughts and your words, if you are aware of that, but you choose not to do the work to transform the quality of your words, to transform the quality of your thoughts, then you keep yourself stuck. There's no two ways about this. No two ways about it. You keep yourself stuck. You have to do your work. You have to, if you want to see your life go to the level that you deserve to have it go to, you have to do your work. Okay? So the next paragraph says, your SOS impacts your life and creates a ripple effect that touches the lives of the women and the girls with whom you interact at home, in the workplace, in the social setting and beyond. There are women, there are girls who pay attention to you that you don't even realize that they're paying attention to you. And when you start to make these changes for yourself, they see that, and you inspire them to consider making, you know, similar changes for themselves. People are watching you that you don't even realize are watching you. You know, there are people in your neighborhood, there are people in your workplace, there are people in your home, there are people, you know, in your family. There are people who are watching you and you don't even realize it. So when you change your life, when you transform any aspect of who you are, you're not only doing it for yourself, you're doing it for other people. There's this ripple effect. there's this ripple effect. I'll be willing to bet you that if, you know, someone from afar, someone from your neighborhood, someone, you know, who works in the same place with you but perhaps in a different department, if they walked up to you and said to you, you know what, oh, I noticed, you know, that you did something different with your hair. Oh, I noticed that, you know, you've lost some weight. Or I noticed whatever. You would probably be surprised because you did not realize that person was paying attention to you. People are paying attention to you. Trust me on that. They are paying attention, and I'm not saying that you have an obligation to change for these people, but when you do change, you are also benefiting them. That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. Okay, so the other part of this, bottom part of this page, it says, women you view from afar, whose lives are projected onto the television and movie screens, whose words you read in cherished novels, and whose lyrics infuse the songs of your life, are also a part of your sisterhood exchanges. So I'm saying all of that to say that when you see women on TV, in the newspaper, in magazines or whatever, and you judge them, the energy that you are sending towards them, that negative judgmental energy, you are keeping it for yourself. That's just the way that goes. What you give to someone else, you keep for yourself. And so women that you don't even know, women that you have never met and will probably never meet, what you are allowing to happen is you are generating this negative energy within yourself for a complete stranger. That's what that boils down to. When you see women on TV, when you see women in the news, on social media, whatever the case may be, and you decide, you just feel like it's necessary for you to, you know, to say some negative things about them, to put a post on your Facebook page that criticizes that woman for whatever decision she made. If you don't know her, okay, you are generating negative energy for yourself for a complete stranger. That's what that boils down to. It may make you feel a certain kind of way. You know, you may feel justified in saying, you know, how could she, and, you know, just being critical of her. But the two things, again, it generates that negative energy for yourself. But what it says about your need to criticize is that you are the one who's being critical. It says nothing really about her. She's living her life. You know, you obviously disagree with it. You obviously have a problem with it. But she's living her life. She's doing that, whatever that is, that's getting on your last nerves. That's her life. She's doing that because that's what she wants to do. But when you take it upon yourself to be critical of it, you are maintaining that negativity in your own space, in your own existence, in your own life, for a complete stranger. Let that marinate, please. Let that marinate. The way I choose to look at, you know, situations where I see on social media, on TV, or whatever the case may be, where, you know, once upon a time I may have had a negative thing to say about somebody, I see those things as prayer requests. I do. I see negative things that happen on the news. I see negative things that happen on TV and the newspapers, on Facebook, whatever the case may be. I see them as prayer requests. When you see it as a prayer request, first of all, if you're a praying person and you say a prayer for that situation, for that person, whatever the case may be, you keep positive energy for yourself because you did not send any negative energy towards them. You sent positive energy by way of a prayer. And if you're not a praying person, thinking something aloud or to yourself, something positive about their situation, wishing that, you know, that something changes for them in a positive way. You just sent some positive energy towards them. You just sent positive, uplifting energy, and guess what? You get to keep the positive, uplifting energy for yourself. That's the way that goes. What goes around comes around in every situation. Every situation. Okay, this next paragraph is a really important one. The next few. Okay, it says, your SOS also impacts and is impacted by the woman whose ascension of the corporate ladder is chronicled on the pages of your local newspaper or favorite magazine. The single mother who seems unable to escape the dependency of public assistance. The drug-addicted prostitute, the girls gone wild, the prominent domestic violence victim, and women who embrace a different religion, different political party, and are a different race or sexual orientation. The Sisterhood Exchange knows no boundaries. How you respond to even them, those you do not know personally, defines the quality of the energy circulating in your immediate world. The thoughts that you think about them, who they are, and how they choose to live are infused with energy, and you keep a replica of all energy that you exude. Inherent in an active SOS is wisdom, tolerance, and maturity, an awareness that an intention to live and let live frees your inner splendor to flow through space previously constricted by judgment. Intentionally sending positive energy to other women places you in the sacred circulation of sisterhood exchanges that attracts what you exude, exudes what you attract, and so on and so on and so on. This just essentially says that we should live and let live, at least try to. You know, when we get into this space where we want to judge other people because they are a different religion or a different sexual orientation or a different political party, first of all, we are using energy that we could use to activate our own SOS, to access our own inner splendor, to bring our own life purpose to reality, right? And it keeps us stuck because we're exuding energy to someone else whose life really is independent from ours. We have nothing to do with their life. And if we do, you know, it's even more important for us to be able to just get to a space where we recognize that just as I have the right to choose what I want to do with my life, some of the things about us is not a choice. The fact that I'm a black woman is not a choice. I'm thankful and grateful for it, but it's not a choice. I was born this way. A person's sexual orientation, they were born that way. They did not have a choice, right? Political parties, we have a choice. Religions, we have a choice. But everybody gets the right to choose. Who are we to say that someone should not belong to the religion or the political party that they've chosen to belong to? We allow ourselves to have an abundance of energy to work on our own stuff when we allow people to live their lives without our intrusion, without our belief that we have the right to dictate to somebody else how they should live. That's what that chapter boils down to. Okay. Breathe in here. Okay. And then the last chapter is on my thanks, and I won't go into that. That's the personal stuff that where I just thank everybody who's played a role in my life, my mom, my aunt, my brothers, my children, of course, my beautiful daughters, Alexandra and Stephanie, my awesome son, Tyler. So this the last chapter of the book goes into my significant thanks for the people who are a part of my life. And if you have the book, you know, you've probably already read it, but yeah, there are some pretty fantastic people in my life. I have a younger brother whose name is Neilan, who is just a fantastic person. I have an older brother, Dwayne, who is another fantastic person. Just really have some really awesome people in my life. So that's what this last chapter goes into, my thanks and how their place in my life allowed me to arrive at this space where I'm talking about sisterhood and writing this really important book. So, yeah. I am going to bid you guys good night because I have a few seconds left. And, that's it. That's the end of the book, the end of the discussion, the Sisterhood Exchange. So I want to thank you all for spending time with me with this beautiful discussion. I am going to post on Facebook and also send a message to the followers of the radio show about what the next steps for the radio show are. There's going to be a slight change, and so I'll get that announcement out to you guys. For those of you who are on my text reminder list, I'll get it to you that way. So, again, thank you very, very much for spending time with me, for allowing me to go on and on about sisterhood. And I think you know by now how important it is to me and how I am obsessed with it and how I think that, you know, when we have the intention to change it, to elevate it, to make it what it truly and accurately is, we can do that. And we can change our lives in the process with that whole SOS and the sister-to-sister dynamic. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for spending a part of your Wednesday night with me. Have a wonderful Wednesday night. Have a wonderful weekend. For those of you who are fathers, happy Father's Day. I love you. And I will be with you again next week, same time, 7:30, Sisterhood Exchange, Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful night. Peace.